For the Lord. How many of you know you got a good God?
Forever and ever.
Sit down.
my soul, and let your living waters flow. Spring up a well within my soul, and let your living waters flow. Mighty rushing river, move over me, and let your waters wash me clean. Mighty rushing river, move over me, and let your waters wash me clean. Spring up a well within my soul, living waters flow. Spring up the well in my soul, and let your wind, and let your living waters flow. Mighty rushing river, mighty rushing river, move over me, and let your waters wash me clean. Mighty rushing river, move over me, and let your waters wash me clean. Oh, wind from heaven blowing strong, I spread my wings, you carry me. Thank you.
Doing. Praise God. Today is Sunday. It's the Lord's Day, amen. Of course, every day is God's day, but Sunday It's set aside. Amen. Sanctified. It's set apart. It's God's day. Amen. So we commit ourselves to being yielded to the Spirit of God. We don't put anything above His plan and His purpose. And we're just flexible. Amen. Ready to do what God wants us to do. Amen. Ready to praise God. God bless you, Sister Kathy. Ready to worship God. Ready to hear the word and obey. Amen. That's what Sunday's all about. Amen. How many of you were here Friday night and got to hear a little bit about our mind? Now, we don't like to hear that kind of stuff because that's a soft spot with everybody, because we all have a mind and we all have a stubborn mind that wants to do its own thing. And so whenever you hear a word like that, that means you got to work through some stuff. So that's a soft spot, but how many of you got some revelation on that? That's your key to victory, I'm telling you. The only thing between you and the blessing of God is your mind. And the sooner you yield your mind to the will of God, the sooner you'll receive that blessing. Amen? It's offering time. If you're giving by cash and you would like an offering envelope, I've got them. I want to encourage you just to step out in a new area. Maybe you've held yourself back in this area before, but I want you to just allow God to stretch your faith in the area of giving, because He wants to stretch what you can receive. Amen. Hallelujah. So I just want you to take a few minutes as you're preparing your offering and just allow God to work on you. If your mind's getting in the way, get it out of the way. You'll get blessed. Amen. But I want you to stand with me. If you've got a seed, and we talk about this, that is every man purposed in his heart to give, not in his head, not from his ears what other people are saying, but in his heart, in the spirit where God speaks. If you've purposed in your heart, that means you've come to agreement with God. Amen. In your spirit, if you've purposed in your spirit what to give and you've taken it seriously, then you have a right to expect a blessing from God. It's that simple. And in faith, I want you to lift your offering, lift your hands up to God. If you didn't bring anything, if you just don't have anything to give, lift your hands, participate by faith, and if you're willing, God will give you seed to sow. Lord, we thank you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for Sunday, where we can bless you. We can meet you and have an encounter with you. Lord, I thank you that we can hear your word. Lord, that you can change our lives, that everything that stands in our way, those things that it seems like we have no control over, those battles that seem like we've lost, Father, I thank you that you can set us free from everything that would harm us and hinder us. Father, I thank you that you've given us the power, all of us this morning, to tread over scorpions, Father. You've given us power to obey your word, and that nothing can harm us, Father. Lord, I pray a blessing over everybody here. Lord, according to their faith, be it unto them. If they've come this morning in need and in faith, Father, I pray that that need be met according to their faith, even now, in Jesus' name. We give you the glory and the honor. We love you, Father. Amen. Well, you can bring your offerings up.
Find more of you. say praise the Lord.
He good.
How many are excited about Jesus? You got me on? Somebody say, excited about Jesus. Well, praise the Lord. I have a feeling we're about ready to get on to get with what God wants to do. How many? Somebody say, don't be weary in doing well, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. How many of you thinking that way? Come on. How many of you pulling the load? We got a lot of stuff to do. Summertime comes. If you read your bulletin, it said that summertime things get real crazy during the summer. But you know what? I'm going to be working in the summer and doing what God wants me to do because the King is coming. I really believe it. And every once in a while, we need to encourage one another in the faith. Look at somebody and say, hold on just a little while longer. We're not living just for ourselves. Come on now. How many of you got a lifestyle and your lifestyle's just not for yourself? Amen. I'm not living just for me. Praise the Lord. I'm living for the purpose and plan of God. Amen. And I promise the Lord I wanted to do some things. And I tell you what, He's going to allow us to do those things. Do you believe me? He is going to allow us to do those things, but it takes great faith to do it. And to hold out and to keep on. Keep it on. Everybody say, keep on, keep it on. You got to have faith to keep on preaching. Somebody say, keep on preaching, keep it on. Come on, say, keep on, keep it on. You've got to have faith to keep on praying. Say, keep on, keep it on. You've got to have faith to keep on giving. Somebody say, keep on, keep it on. Whatever you do as unto the Lord, you know what? You've got to have some faith. Say, I'm going to keep on keeping on until He comes. Amen. I'm going to keep. How many are going to keep on keeping on until Jesus comes? I'm going to be praying until Jesus comes. Hallelujah. I'm going to be working for the kingdom until Jesus comes. Come on. And I'll always be teaching, preaching, amen, or giving, or laboring. Somebody say it. Until Jesus comes. Somebody say, keep on, keep on. Keeping on. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Amen. I don't want to, you know what? I'm not just here to be by myself. I don't want to live unto myself either. There's a whole lot more things, a whole lot more I want to get out of life than just taking care of myself. And it takes faith to keep that mentality, doesn't it? You've got to encourage yourself in the Lord to have that mentality. When you wake up in the morning, what am I waking up for? Am I going to work just to handle me? How many just living for yourself? There's more than just living for yourself out there. And if you're going to be effective in the kingdom of God, effective in the things of God, you got to get beyond yourself. Somebody say, praise the Lord in this quiet place this morning. You've got to pray. We don't need to be filming today, Brother Jesse. Come on down. You got to be beyond yourself. Beyond yourself. And we've been talking about the right mind. Everybody say the right mind.
The right mind.
Say it again. The right,
right
mind. That God wants to deal with our mind. And we said if you don't renew your mind, if you don't get your mind together, you're not going to make it. There are a lot of things that people deal with that they call those things to be spiritual problems or spiritual issues or things like that, you know? Well, sometimes it's not so spiritual. Sometimes it's just basic. Look at somebody and say, you got
a mental mountain.
You need to move out of the way. Find somebody else and tell them. You've got a mental mountain, that needs to move out of the way. Or you can stay on the other side of it if you want to. See, there are a lot of people that are at the mountain. You know what? And they have to get over to the other side, but they've camped on the other side because they don't want to go through. They don't want to move that mountain of mentality. Oh, it's quiet in here this morning. Someone say, move the mountain.
Move the mountain.
of mentality. So you can get over to the other side where God wants you to go. Praise the Lord. I was going to talk to you about, I was praying this morning and getting my stuff together, seeking God. What are we going to share with these folk this morning? Amen. Now, y'all know there's a whole bunch of stuff going on. We're all over the world today looking for weapons of mass destruction. Everybody say weapons of mass destruction. Say it again, weapons of mass destruction. We're going to go looking for weapons of mass destruction this morning. Mm-hmm. It's quiet, isn't it? See, it's really good when you look for weapons and stuff. The president's looking for weapons. The whole military's out there looking for weapons. But in the church today, we need to do a search. Somebody say hallelujah. For weapons of mass destruction. They might be hidden real deep, amen, to where you can't find them, amen. You have to search for them, amen, but you got to find every last one of them. Now, isn't it amazing that we're so eager to go search out somebody else's weapons instead of looking at our own? There's more than enough mess over here of destruction, come on, that we can search out and deal with. To make life, there's somebody that died this morning, amen, because of a weapon of mass destruction right here in our own land. People are shooting each other every day. Come on. Drugs are running rampant every day. People are starving every day. Come on. Violence, rape, suicide, depression, all of that mess. Amen. That's all, somebody say, weapons of mass destruction. It's easy to look at somebody else's weapon to think you can protect yourself. See, that's the way it is in church. We always want to look at somebody else's weapons and somebody else's stuff, how they can affect us and hurt us and harm us. But today the Holy Ghost wants us to dig deep within our, some say, mind. Find those weapons of mass destruction. And people don't realize that if you don't deal with it, you're going to be hurt. Or somebody else is going to be hurt. Somebody else is going to be wounded. Amen. Because somebody's packing weapons of mass destruction. That's why we've got to renew our mind. And we renew our mind. We're renewing that thing. We're cleaning out the mess, all the crud. Because you know what? You might be harboring some weapons that later on might hurt a lot of people. Weapons of mass destruction. Maybe like unforgiveness. And you don't think that thing is so important, but you'll bury it real deep and real low, those issues of unforgiveness and grudges and all this other stuff. And you don't know it 6 months later. 6 weeks later, there's going to be an explosion, amen, because someone's packing a weapon of mass destruction. Have you searched your heart? The Bible tells us that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say mighty weapons. To the pulling down of strongholds. Now listen, God wants us to be free, to be clean, and to be holy. Somebody say hallelujah. Open your Bibles to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. And it says this, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Where take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and the breastplate of righteousness. Some say, put on the whole armor of God. Everybody say weapons. We can have, so we want to pack stuff that we think is going to be beneficial to us. That thing, you know, what's a weapon of mass destruction? Anything you think you can use on somebody else to protect yourself. Other than the word. God is your defense. The Bible tells us, if I hold my peace, amen, and let the Lord fight the battle, somebody say victory, will be ours. But we don't have enough confidence and we don't have enough trust in that. We got to go pack it. I'm going to hold a memory of what somebody else did. I won't tell anybody until I need it. Somebody say, pack it. I'll remember what somebody else said about somebody else, and I'll pack it deep within my mind so that when I need to protect myself or to clear myself, I can say the right thing, amen, which is really the wrong thing, to make a difference. So say, packing weapons of mass destruction. See, we can't bring these worldly things into the house of God and expect, amen, to rule and reign and to get all of God's best. You got to search out the territory when you come into the kingdom of God. You can't bring in all the worldly stuff. Well, I got a bad temper. Somebody said, that's a weapon of mass destruction. You got to clear that thing out because it's going to hurt somebody else. See, we don't realize the eternal significance of others and how powerful we are. We'll go packing, we'll go harboring dangerous stuff in our minds, dangerous attitudes, dangerous mentalities, dangerous actions. Amen. And we don't know that, but our actions and our words may carry eternal significance. We could say the wrong thing to the wrong person on the wrong day. Amen. Shut them out of the kingdom of God, wound them to where they'll never come back to church again, never want to see a thing about church again, because somebody was packing a weapon of mass destruction. Now, we didn't made it. Somebody say, hallelujah. Now, we didn't made it. We still hanging on. Amen. Chased off 32 others. Amen. But we still hanging on. Somebody say, packing weapons of mass destruction. See, we got to be responsible for one another. We got to be responsible for one another because when the weak are there, somebody say they're weak, and then sometimes people just need to hold on and hang on. But people don't need a bunch of hang-ups to come to Jesus and to come to God. You got to clean that stuff out. The Bible said it would be better for, you know, I mean, he doesn't want you to offend others. Somebody say the spirit of offense. What offends? Weapons of mass destruction. You might not think it's okay. We have these ideas and these thought processes and these hang-ups and these weird imaginations, these attitudes, these things that we just can't get over, and we think it's all right. It's only going to affect me. But we really don't realize that we're packing a weapon of mass destruction. It's going to affect somebody. Something taught we don't agree with, we don't understand it, amen. We go running our mouth about it, amen. Now, you might be able to get over it in 3 weeks, but you don't know. You might have whopped somebody out of church for 6 months. Why are they always talking about money? It's all they want is money. Come on. And somebody else is broke and need to learn how to give. Come on. So say, packing weapons of mass destruction, affecting others because we have this mentality, this worldliness. You know, when we come into the house of God, we got to humble ourselves and realize that we don't know it all. Amen. The Word of God knows it. And we need Him to help us. How many need Jesus to help you? How many need Jesus to help you? We need the Word of God to help us get out of some stuff. And you know what? His ways aren't our ways. His ways are higher than our ways. He doesn't need to use your weapons to bring peace. If He wanted to do it that way, didn't He win when He came? Didn't He put hell under? Didn't He defeat the devil? Didn't the devil try everything He could do? Strife, slander? The devil tried everything he could try, even death, to stop the plan of God. But Jesus came, and He did not use those carnal weapons. He didn't have to go that way. Amen. He could walk righteously and godly and get what He wanted to get done, accomplished. Because he had a trust and a confidence that the way of God was the best way. Somebody say hallelujah. So we must renew our mind. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. Put ye off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now we think you got to work to get rid of whatever you had, whatever mentality that we've been dealing with in our past life, the life that should have gone, the things my daddy told me, the things my mama taught me, things my neighbor said, the things that history has taught us, what everybody else says. Someone said the old man. If you have not gotten rid of the old man, the new man will never be able to come alive or to grow up. Some say, put off the former conversation. I like the word it says conversation. When we get saved, we shouldn't talk the same way. We shouldn't have the same tune. Before I got saved, this is the way I would respond to this, and this is what I would say. But I'm a new creature now in Christ Jesus. I have to put off that old way of doing things. Before I got saved, I didn't trust men. I didn't trust women. They were all out for this. They were all out for that. But once you've got born again, God's given you a new mentality and a new mindset. Amen. To where you have to think differently. When you go to work differently than when you went the day before. Amen. Because you've got a new conversation. Amen. Just say, put off. You'll never be able to rise to where God wants you. I'm going to tell you, how many want to rise to the new level? How many want to rise and meet Jesus in the air? Well, you got to cast off every weight that so easily besets you. There are things that hold you down. I want to be more spiritual. I want to be more spirit-filled. I want to be more prayerful. I want to be more on fire for God. I don't want to have all this thought in my mind and all this mess. Well, if you want to rise up to meet him in the spiritual level, you've got to cast off things that so easily hold you back. Don't you know that there's a war on the inside of you? There's a war going on. So often we war with one another. I'm going to tell you what, whenever you're warring with other people, it's because you refuse to war with yourself. Until you got to learn how to which enemy to take on. Now, we got a lot of people out here in the world that can't stand our country, hate us, but we don't go bombing everybody. Why? Because they are no threat to us. They can't affect us. It would be a stupid thing, amen, to go to war and waste your bullets on somebody or something, amen, that's not going to do you any harm, that can't affect you, right? So often we waste our time warring with one another, warring with people, amen, when that's not our battle, instead of taking down the number one enemy. You've got to understand that the war is within. When you're battling with somebody and somebody's going through, I tell you what, that's not your enemy. The war is on the inside. It's a war between the flesh and the spirit. And you've got to put on the new man, which is formed in the likeness of Christ Jesus, until the war is over. Come on now. It's too quiet in here today, but I'm still going to teach it because I know it's right. How many want to win the battle and win the war? Amen. There is no man, there is no flesh. The Bible says no weapon formed against you will ever be able to prosper. And the only reason we get so caught up with folk and get so worried about what people think and what people say and what people do is because we think they have some ability to affect our what God promised us. I tell you what God promised me, I'm going to get it if I put my faith and what I trust in men. And I tell you what, no, if Satan himself couldn't keep it from me, ain't no man on earth can do it, no woman on earth, and the same thing for you. You got to know that it's God that promised it to you, amen, and that you're going to get it that way. So you realize that there's nothing out there, no evil weapon, no weapon formed against you is ever going to be able to prosper. You don't have any enemies. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
They might be your enemy, but as far as you're concerned, they're too small. They're too small, amen? Amen. They're too small for you to waste your thought, to waste your time. I tell you what, your enemy, what you need to be battling, what you need to be worrying about is that man on the inside that's causing you not to live the way that you need to live. Causing you not to think the way you need to think, amen? Causing you to believe, amen, what you're not supposed to believe. You're supposed to be strong in the Lord and the power of his mind, and you're supposed to keep a good confession and a good mindset. That's the battleground. Someone say, the battleground is on the inside. I tell you what, if we'd learn to war on the inside of us, we'd learn to walk in peace on the daily level. Amen? We can walk in peace in every circumstance, in every situation we face, and win. Someone say, you deal with the inside. You deal with your mind, the battleground of your mind. You deal with the battleground of your mind. And I tell you what, you'll never lose a war in the outward area. You'll never lose a war on the outward area. If you got some problems going on, you got some situations going on, you better go to war. Amen. Some say the battle's on the inside. And you got to let Jesus reign. See, there's so many people said, I can't, you know, the Jehovah Witness and everybody else is talking about the great and final war. Even silly Christians today. We got to get ready. It's us or them. Oh, we got to get ready. It's the Muslims against the Christian. And we got to get our guns and stand up for Jesus. I tell you what, if you can't stand up for him on the inside of your mind when it comes to you to make a simple step, amen, or to cause you to be sweet, kind, and nice, to live right, amen, come on now, to love others, to pay your tithes, if you can't beat the devil on the inside of your mind when it comes to an offering, don't you think you're going to pick up a gun later and fight for him on the open? Oh, it's quiet in here this morning. See, we need to win, and we wonder why we're not winning, because we're not going to win this thing with bullets and guns and stuff like that. We're going to win this thing with everybody finding out where the enemy is and attacking that thing. The Bible says, listen, he that takes his own spirit is greater than he that takes a city. See, there are a lot of people that want to take a bunch of stuff on the outside, but they never are able to take themselves. They're able to win every argument, come on, persuade everybody else, and do all this other stuff, but they're never really able to deal with themselves. What happens when you get in a bad mood? What happens when your faith is weak? What happens when the devil's at your door trying to make you do something you know you don't need to do? You're too weak to handle it. Some say weapons of mass destruction. See, we know what belongs to God. We know what things God says we don't need to have on the inside of us. You got to understand, that's a weapon of mass destruction, and it's not just meant to take out the person you're upset about. It's meant to take out you. Bible says those that live by the sword will also die by the sword. Because you always reap what you sow. You always reap what you sow. So we have got to learn to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Get this stuff out of there. Somebody say, and live at peace with all men, because we got peace on the inside. If there's a battle waging on the inside, I tell you what, you got to win the war. When Jesus comes back, he's coming back for victors. What kind of victors? Not the people that shot down another nation and shot somebody else. Someone that was victorious over themselves. Won the war there. Might be struggling with temptations and all these things. Win the war there. So say there's a battle going on. Philippians chapter 2 verse 5. We need to keep fighting to let Jesus reign. See, there are some people over there in that foreign land. They would love to bring Saddam Hussein back. I'm sure there's some Nazis that wish that Hitler would get up out of the grave. Come on. Everybody's got a leader they want to make, that they want to fight to put up in front. But I tell you what, there's a leader and his name is Jesus. He's Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and his government will ever reign. And we're so quick to put his name over our outward governments and all this other stuff. That stuff is fine, but that's not going to do diddly squat unless people allow his government to reign over their own life. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
If we would allow his government to reign over us personally, it wouldn't matter who's running something. Somebody say hallelujah. Because we'd all be dictated and governed by the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. So many people want to vote for this and want to vote for that. Amen. Vote for everything. But when it comes there to make decisions on their own mindset, they fall back. Philippians chapter 2 verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. How do we receive the mind of Christ? Meditating in the word. So you got to learn out that what you hear, amen, is what you'll create. And so often we'll get so much negative mess around us and wonder why our mind is so messed up, because somebody's selling us stuff. Over here in this nation, they're trying to catch people that sell weapons to other countries or help supply them. How did this nation, somebody gave them the weapons. Well, maybe you don't have the weapons planted in the back of your mind, but boy, you done sold a lot to other people. You sold an idea. You thought you saw something that somebody else might not have saw, but you certainly sold it to them. Amen. Did you see what Crystal said today? Somebody say selling weapons of mass destruction and wonder why somebody got a bunch of stuff under the thing. I don't think that man likes you. What do you think? And they wonder why the people are packing. So you have a responsibility to get away from all these kind of terrorists. See, there's some Christian terrorists out there. I mean, I tell you what, you hang around them for 3 weeks, your spiritual life is toe up. You still remember the words to the song, amen, but when it comes to you acting like Jesus, talking like Jesus, living like Jesus, walking in forgiveness, walking with a pure mind and all that stuff, you can hang it up because it just ain't going to happen. Somebody say, I want to be holy. I want to be right. If you want to be holy and you want to be right, you got to get people around you that want to be holy and want to be right. Oh, praise the Lord. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. We need to be renewed. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 says this, wherefore, gird up the loins of your minds and be sober. There's so many people drunk in hatred, drunk in unforgiveness. How do you get drunk in something? You know what? You just, anything can make you drunk. You eat too much, you'll get drunk or die. Excess, overabundance of anything will make you drunk and unstable. You need to be sober in your mind. There are so many people that, you know, that could be a little thing. Husbands and wives can get drunk in an issue that passes their judgment over a toilet seat. Every time that toilet seat doesn't go back down, they're going to build on it. They're going to build on it. They're going to build on it. You can get drunk on a wrong issue by never getting off of stuff. When something happens, you got to learn to get off of it quickly, or you're going to have too much of that stuff eating it and eating it. Keep thinking about that person. Keep thinking about that person. Keep going, keep rehash until all of a sudden you're going to be drunk with it. What's drunk? You're going to see the person. You're going to start acting drunk instead of saying good morning. Come on. What's wrong with them? They're not sober. They're not sound in their mind. They're drunk. They're drunk in bitterness, hatred, and unforgiveness. Causes them to act ugly. You ever seen people get drunk? How stupid they look and how dumb they act? Well, we can see some people that don't have sober minds concerning the body of Christ and the things of God. There are some people that can't even worship God. You know why? They're drunk. They're not sober. Not drunk in the spirit of the Holy Ghost, but they're drunk at whatever they're going through and whatever they're dealing with. Instead of saying, this is the right way I need to go. This is the right thing I need to do. So you got to let the Lord be final authority. You got to understand that He's there to help you. See, so many people think that they're there to help God. I'm so glad God's got me. Now He's got another person to sit in the pew. God ought to be so glad He's got me. He's got another tither. Oh, God ought to be so happy He got me. He got somebody to play the keyboard and somebody to preach. Boy, I'm really doing God a favor. Amen. I'm not doing God jack squat. God is doing good for me. He's there for my good. Amen? We can think about all the things that we do for Him, but I tell you what, in the long run, it's all for your good. Amen. You're not doing Him any favor. There's nothing you can do for God that He won't do for you. If I give Him my whole life and every dime I make, I'm not doing nothing. It's all for my good. I'm better off with Him than without Him. Period, point blank. I'm not doing Him any favors. Somebody say hallelujah. We got to think that way. I was meditating in the room and just praying and going through my showers of Holy Ghost praise. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Got a new shower. That one's anointed too. And I just kept thinking, God, you're for my good. Tell somebody, Jesus is for your good. That's why I like the name Jesus. Why do I like the name Jesus? His name is Yeshua, our Savior. When you got Jesus, you got salvation out of whatever you're into. Whenever He shows up, whenever He gets involved with, He's not there to get on your nerves, to work you over, amen, to beat you up. He's there to help you. There is nothing that God does for you. Whenever anything about Jesus, whenever He shows up there, it's always for your salvation. When he told that one man, he said, Lord, what do I need to do in order to inherit eternal life? He said, go sell everything you have and give money to the poor and do all this other stuff. That man couldn't handle it because he thought Jesus wanted to get something off of him. He didn't understand that whenever you come in contact with Jesus, it's for your good. Somebody told me they had a friend that went to church, and a friend couldn't take what the preacher was saying. He went to a Word of Faith church, and the preacher said, press down, shaking together. And the man came back and said, oh, same old stuff. Press down, shaking together, because he doesn't know who Jesus is. Amen. See, there are a lot of people that think that Jesus is nothing but an offering plate. Amen. Jesus is nothing but a ministry. Jesus is nothing but an assignment. Jesus is nothing but rules and regulation. Jesus is our hope, our salvation, and our deliverance. Whenever you get with God in any area, there is no point of God that you can ever come in contact with that he won't be himself. Even in the hard times, somebody say, it's for your good. Somebody say, hallelujah. Even when he's on your case, amen, about your attitude, amen, about the things you do. Somebody say, it's Jesus. And if it's Jesus, it's our salvation. It's for my good. You can't separate him from goodness. And you just got to learn to trust him. You got to trust him to be himself. Somebody said, that settles. You don't have to think about it. That's what I'm learning about God, that it's not, you know, oh, he's good today, but now he's my rule taskmaster. No, he's always Jesus, and you can never separate him from salvation. Somebody say hallelujah. That's why it's easy when I said I can keep preaching till it comes. Keep giving till it comes. Amen. Because if he's there, if he's involved with it, amen, it's always for my salvation. And I tell you, whatever you get revelation of, amen, you'll see manifestation of it. Revelation brings the manifestation. So that when you see Jesus doing something, oh, wait a minute, Jesus said I have to live this way. Turn the other cheek. Oh, who said it? Jesus. That means my salvation. Amen. Salvation says. Somebody say salvation says. Salvation. Forgive. Wonder why we can't be saved, why we're not saved and delivered out of stuff, why are we still going through stuff? Because salvation says forgive. Salvation says to love. Hallelujah. Salvation says to give. So say, Jesus is working for my good. Hallelujah! I'm almost out of here, but I can hear the Lord say right now, I'm here for your good. I'm here for your good. How many of you like that? I'm here to help you. Glory to God. Say, I love you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. I receive you, Jesus. He's making it easy. I mean, he shows up and he says, listen, I'm here for you. Amen. You're not here for me. Glory to God. See, there are a lot of people that get that stuff messed up. Well, let me go do the Lord a favor today. Somebody say hallelujah. No, he came for you. He left the home in glory, seated with the Father, came down here to suffer, bleed, and die. Amen. Had everything, created everything. Created, he's the creator of all things. By the right hand, left all of that stuff, came down here to suffer, bleed, and die, be spat upon, amen? Be whipped, be bruised, be talked about, disbelieved, amen? Come on! And you think he came down here because you had something he needed? You could win the lotto. He still had more. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. See, that's how that devil lies. Oh, he's got you thinking you're God. Amen. Somebody say, he was fine before he knew me. Glory to God. It should be he was fine before he knew you. Parents used to tell their kids, I'll knock you out and make one just like you. Make one look just like you. Amen. Well, the Lord's the same way. That's one thing about God. You know what? He loves us, and he wants to help us, not because of what he can get out of us, amen, but just because of who and what he is. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. But we have to receive him and do things his way. I'm just talking to you like I was talking to the Lord, and the Lord was talking to me this morning. So say weapons of mass destruction. What do you need a weapon of mass destruction for when you got Jesus, the Lion of Judah, on your side? Never lost a battle. Somebody say glory to God. Never lost a battle. Never lost a battle. You don't need to be packing when Jesus is in the camp. You don't need an attitude when Jesus is there. Thank you, Jesus. You don't need a backup plan when he's giving you the word. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Somebody say hallelujah. So we must be sound. Sound. Somebody say sound. And together with Jesus. Now we read this scripture before in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. Somebody say, get your mind on Jesus. Say, get your mind on Jesus. Don't lose your peace. Don't lose your peace. Get your mind on Jesus. It says this, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Some say perfect peace. Now, Jesse, I know you got your little dictionary open there. I want you to give me the definition of that word peace.
Shalom.
Somebody say shalom. Everybody say shalom.
Shalom.
Nothing broken, nothing missing. Read us out loud the definition of that word shalom.
Safe.
Safe.
Well.
Well.
Happy.
Happy.
Friendly.
Friendly.
Welfare.
Welfare.
Health.
Health.
Prosperity.
Prosperity.
Favor.
Favor.
Friend.
Friend.
Perfect.
Perfect. Period. I like that. Whole. Somebody say whole. Whole and prosperity. Friend. Now, it seems so often that we allow our minds to get unstable when we get in a problem with other people and all the things that this peace is. Like, we get mad at people because we don't think they're being friendly. But the Bible tells us he will keep us in perfect peace or in perfect friendship. Somebody say hallelujah. When our mind is stayed on Jesus instead of staying on the negative. You know, we want to fight and we want to cheat and do all this other stuff, amen, because we think that somebody else is going to get something that we didn't get. But he promised you, he'll keep you prospered. Thou will keep them in perfect prosperity whose mind is stayed on him. So keep your mind on Jesus. When the rough, you started to get out there and sow, to trust God and to believe God. Stuff got rough, stuff got difficult, amen. Never said it wasn't going to get difficult, but keep your mind on Jesus. Don't look at the stuff on the in the meantime. I tell you what, when you go to get your hair done, some of you got perms and some of you got this other stuff. When they working on you, don't look so good. You don't look so good when they working on you. Amen. When they go to build something, that stuff doesn't look good until it's finished. There's a bunch of stuff when you start working with Jesus, you start doing what God wants you to do, the process might not look so good, but the end result, you'll come out on top. Keep your mind on Jesus. Somebody say hallelujah. Say praise the Lord. And he will keep you in perfect peace. So say sober minds. Sober mind. Say it again. Sober. Sober mind. Hallelujah. Well, I think this is, I'm probably finished right here. This last scripture that I gave you Friday night, I want to give it to you. Psalm 31, 12, because there's so many people that are like this today. They can't hold on to anything. They can't keep a word past Monday morning. Sometimes they can't hold on to a word. By Sunday night, it's gone. Amen. By the ride home, they done forgot all about it. Amen. They on something else. Can't hold on to anything. It's God's will for you to hold on to the word so it doesn't let you go. It says this. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. Saying dead man out of mind. How many want to be? God doesn't want you to die. He wants you to be alive in the spirit, alive for God, alive with purpose. And the sad thing about this, when we're out of mind, I am like a broken vessel. So say a broken vessel. Say broken vessel. How many are tired of going to people and you don't get any oil? When you come into contact with them, you should have the oil of the Holy Spirit. Vessels were meant to hold water and oil and contain things. Notice this person that was dead and out of their mind couldn't hold on to anything. They couldn't keep anything. Well, your mind's supposed to retain some of the Word of God. A little bit of joy, a little bit of peace, a little bit of encouragement. But if we don't keep our mind, our vessels are broken to where we can't contain any good thing that God wants us to have. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So let us learn the importance of renewing the mind. Renewing that mind daily, that we would have the mind of Christ, that we can be delivered from ourselves, of where the real battle is, where the real war is. How are we going to win the battle in the church? Get folk in here. Somebody say, the battle's within. The battle's within. The battle's within. There's a war going on. And if you're going to win, you're going to need the whole armor of God to be able to stand in the last days. We need to have our heart fixed and our mind made up. So say, get off my mind. We need to learn to tell people, I don't want to hear all that smack. I don't want to hear all that junk. I don't want it in my spirit, nor do I want it in my mind. I don't even want to remember it. I don't need any weapons. I might, you know, I have Jesus. I'm trying to live right. I'm trying to walk right. Trying to talk right. If you don't want, you know, if you want to stay on the other side of the mountain, you go on and stay there. One thing I learned, people, I'm not the Holy Ghost. Amen. I am not the Holy Ghost. And I'm not God. And if God doesn't touch an issue, we can't touch an issue. Amen. Only the individual can renew the mind. Without a renewed mind, that person will never be everything that God wants them to be. Why don't you stand right where you are right now? Stand up. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just start to pray in the Holy Ghost. Just start to pray in the Holy Ghost right where you are. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, you can pray better than that. Thank you, Jesus. See, it's hard praying in the Holy Ghost. You know why? Because you're in the world. It's hard to pray in the Holy Ghost when you're in the world. And if you can't pray in the Holy Ghost effectively and powerfully, you know what? That's rough. These are the last days. Don't you see everything that's going on in the world? They're fighting over there in Israel. People aren't getting on. Their children are dying in Africa. Militants just going and shooting them down. Genocides all over the world. These are the last days. There's no time for us to be unstable in our mind. We need to be strong in the Lord and the power of His mind. And if you don't pray, you need to be in shape spiritually. No time to be weak and playing games. No time to be weak and playing games. Pray that you enter not into temptation. Oh, Father. You don't want to pray because it's not like you to want to pray. Amen. The mind, you know, that flesh doesn't want to pray. The flesh doesn't want to pray. The flesh wants to go to hell. The flesh wants to go to hell. It wants to kill you. It wants to die. It doesn't want the things of God. Flesh is weak, but the spirit's strong. So pray. Pray, pray, pray. Pray. Oh, Father. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for those that are in this room today. I thank you that we hear. I thank you that we obey. I thank you for Jesus. Jesus, I thank you that you come to deliver us and to set us free. Lord, I thank you with the revelation of your word that we get to walk in fullness of who you said we should be, Father God. Lord, you said that one would put 1,000 to flight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. So right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we anchor into your word. We anchor into your will. We declare that we will constantly put you on our minds and in our hearts, that we would be able to be all that you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, y'all come back here tonight. Did y'all enjoy that this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. I think we're finished with that. But stay fresh. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Build yourself up. Don't be weak. Hallelujah. Get strong. The devil wants to kill you. And it doesn't take long. It doesn't take long. Hallelujah. The devil wants to kill you, and it won't take long. So pray. Amen. And be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, and be excited about what God is about to do. Amen. Jesse, you got anything for us? Are we okay? Hallelujah. We get to see y'all tonight at 7 o'clock. Hallelujah. Put on some good music.